Hi, Nesla. You're speaking with Aaron. How can I help you?
Hiya, it's Mary Balmain. You've been trying to contact me since yesterday.
Hi, yeah.
Sorry that I haven't returned your call. It's just that I had visitors. I didn't want
Yeah,
them
no, I
overhearing
understand.
my conversation.
Of
So,
course, yeah, no, I understand.
right. So, what?
So, yeah, so we are the law firm that you've inquired to in regards to the Scottish Redress Scheme. And the basically the point of my call was to just go through the application process with yourself,
Yes.
gather further details, tell you how we work and how we'll represent you as a law firm, and then also gather some details in regards to your time and care,
Right.
and the wrongdoing that you may have occurred.
Right. So before we go any further,
Yeah.
I was in care but under my grandparents. I wasn't
Okay.
fostered out to a stranger.
Yep, okay. Was you placed in any care settings or anything like that? Or
No,
was
I
it
went.
solely on the grandparents?
Yeah.
Okay. And did your grandparents do any wrongdoing to you?
Well, I feel that they did, but in today's age, maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Okay, well before I do go ahead, just talk tell me a little bit about how you feel they may have done you wrong, and I can just see if you are applicable, obviously, before we do get into a call and wasting
Yeah,
any of your time possibly.
So, in 1970, overnight, I was orphaned,
Yep.
and then so I was put in my grandparents' care. Now, I feel they were too old and financially couldn't afford to bring up myself, my sister, and my two brothers.
Yeah.
I know that probably some of this sounds trivial, but it was a big thing back then that you weren't allowed to put the lights on. She locked the iron in our bedroom. I know it sounds really trivial, but
Yeah.
you'd get slapped if you left a wet towel anywhere, stuff like that. So I don't know if that's called abusive emotionally or what.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, in terms of the obviously the iron that you've mentioned, you said it was locked in your room. Was it locked away in your room, or was it
No, it was
accessible to you?
locked away in my grandmother's room,
Okay.
as
Okay.
well as any biscuits or stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, so when it does come to the food side of things, then
Awful.
how does Or how did that affect you in terms of did you eat enough sufficient meals in the day? Yeah, were you
Yeah.
rewarded for anything good? How was that for you?
Right, so I would use my dinner money to buy things, not food, to buy like sanitary towels and stuff like that,
Yeah.
because I couldn't ask her to buy it for me. But we always had an evening meal. But in the morning, you were put out, well, you weren't put out to school. She came through and says, "Get up." And then she went back to her bed. We had to get ourselves up, get ready for school, and out the door. No breakfast. Then you were having no lunch because you were using that money for something else.
Yeah.
You'd have your tea when you came home. There wasn't any, I'm going to call it luxury because it was back in the day, biscuits. They were locked up in her bedroom and brought out if she had visitors. If she bought fruit, it'd be placed on the coffee table in a fruit bowl, but you weren't allowed to eat it. It was just there for show.
Yeah, I get
You know what I'm saying? I just
you.
think
Yeah.
it was a cruel, old-fashioned way of bringing up children.
Yeah, no, of course, I completely understand that.
And we were never asked, "Do you want to stay here?" There was social work intervention in the beginning, but then we were just left to it.
Okay. And in terms of obviously you said that, you know, you had to use your dinner money for, you know, to buy sanitary towels and stuff. What was the potential reason why you couldn't maybe approach your grandparents and ask?
Oh, just they were so old fashioned. So old fashioned, that wasn't taught, you know, it wasn't. This is a bit grim. So she was doing the washing and my sister had put her underwear in the wash that had been soiled.
Yeah.
And I was there at the time and she says, dirty bitch. So that sort of gives you a clue what type of parenting.
Yeah, the parent. I understand. Okay. And then in terms of the, you know, the physical abuse that you suffered, obviously you mentioned briefly before, obviously you know you had to get a slap and whatnot. What would that be for?
Oh, anything. Coming in late, not tidying up behind yourself. Stuff like that.
Okay, I understand. Was there any form of punishment in terms of was it more than a slap? Was it, you know, would you get you know, maybe your granddad's belt, for example?
Not me personally, but my brother did. But he's done his own redress thing.
Yeah,
but okay. I was aware of it.
Yeah, obviously you're aware of it, and I'm obviously guessing as well. You'd potentially hear, you know, the screams from your brother, I assume.
Yeah, in the wax. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so from what you've told me alone, Marie, from my experience, I'd say you are applicable to the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Even though these things, you know, can maybe seem in your eyes, in some senses, I'm not saying it is, but it can be minor to what, you know, maybe other children have gone through as well.
It is
still forms of abuse. Alongside that, obviously we've got neglect in there as well.
In terms of
obviously no breakfast, no proper parenting, as we've said. You know, obviously, again, you know, you're skipping meals, so mm-hmm. it, you know, they are forms of neglect. In all honesty, I feel that you are applicable to this scheme.
And then you're going to school and your shoes are burst and they're letting water in, and you had the same blazer from first year all the way through to fifth year. You know, there was all burst at the elbows there's lots of things, but they are minor compared to what other children go through.
Yeah, no, of course, but it does still have an impact on you, and it still sticks with you to this day. Obviously, your childhood are the most important years of your life, and as we get older as adults, we can visualise things differently and notice how we've been treated. And I do completely understand, like, you know, you've probably got children and grandchildren of yourself now, and you do the opposite to what your grandparents would do for you. That in itself goes to show that you've had an impact on your life, and you are making a change to make, you know, your children and grandchildren around you have a better life. So if you didn't have to make them changes or make improvements, then of course, obviously, you know, you've had a lovely childhood. But because you are making them important factors to make sure that, you know, the people around you have a better upbringing to life compared to what you did, it does go to show that it's had an impact on you, because you want to make the impact on others.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to do then is, if it's okay with yourself, is I will go through the application process with you. Later on in the call as well, I'll go through your care settings of obviously being in your grandparents, and then I'll write up a statement. Not a full statement, it's not a more in-depth statement, but it's just the main factors, how it's made you feel, what's happened. I've just made a few notes there as we've just been obviously discussing the induction to that phone call. So I'll make a little bit of a statement up for yourself, and this will get populated into the application for then you to sign via email.
Uh-huh.
Um, And then that'll come back to me. And then what I can do at the end of the phone call is, obviously, I'll send that out to you. That comes back to me, and then I can send it off to the Scottish Government then to get an application number for the scheme. But yeah, I'll expand on them points of obviously the no breakfast, the dinner money for your woman needs. As you've just even mentioned, then the additional information of clothes being worn out, shall we say. And then obviously the physical abuse and your experience and your brother getting severe beatings, it all does play a part in trauma as well. So I'll go through this process with you. I'll obviously be as quick as I can, but I'll explain everything in great detail for yourself. So obviously, at any point during this call, if you do need to have any, further explanation from myself, have any questions, you need me to stop and we can do it another day. You just always let me know, okay?
So the thing is, there'll be very little paperwork in regard to me, because as I said, there was only social care workers in the very beginning. So the proof, there isn't a lot of proof, it's only my word about it. Because obviously my grandparents have died, and my sister, she's died. So I didn't have a lot of things that, like if I'd said that I was in XY care home or this approved, because I wasn't.
No, of
There's
course,
no
yeah.
paperwork to back up anything that I'm saying.
Yeah, of course, and I completely understand your concern, and that's why the likes of ourselves being quite an experienced law firm in this scheme is there is people out there like yourself that have not got everything documented. This scheme isn't designed, and it has been designed by the Scottish Government themselves, and it's accessible for people like yourself and everybody else. Every case is different. So not every case can be presented with support and evidence or records or, anything like that. It will go to show, of course, that you've been in the care system. Obviously, as you've said there, you've had social workers and stuff like that. So there will be supporting evidence, but this scheme aren't here to tell you whether you're telling porcupines, or they don't believe you. All they want to know is that you've been in care before December 1st, 2004. Anything else that's happened to you is what they'll then look into, but they're not here to call you a liar or, to say, oh no, she hasn't been in care, because there's a story to tell, and that's what they're here to do. They're here to listen to that story. So yeah, don't be too concerned about it. We're experienced in this field enough to be able to help the likes of, someone like yourself who may not have much paperwork behind them. You've still got a story, and that story is going to get told.
So this isn't going to go back and forward and back and forward for whatever length of time, is it? It's just
No, it's not going to go back and forward. There's a process that we go down. What I'll do is I'll explain that process in a short while, and you'll get the full understanding of how it's going to work from A to B then. Okay. All right. So the details that I've got so far that I've populated through, I've got your name here as Marie Balmain. Is that correct? Okay. And do you have any saying it? Middle name's Marie.
Alison.
Alison.
And my maiden name was Bett, Bett.
BETT. Okay. And am I best addressing you by Miss or Mrs.?
Mrs.
Mrs. Okay, that's perfect. Okay, and I've also got your email address here, Marie, as mbalmain@hotmail.co.uk.
Yep.
Perfect. And what is your date of birth, please, Marie?
21/10/64.
I do apologise as well. I do have a fan in the office. I've just heard that in my headset that it's blowing like I'm outside. It is a little bit warm today, so I'm not exactly
No,
walking the
that's
streets
fine.
talking to you.
Absolutely fine.
I've moved the fan away, so you shouldn't hear that now.
No, it's fine, honestly.
Okay, perfect. And Marie, can I grab your home address, please?
Number two,
Yep.
Ash Grove Terrace, King
And
Lassie. All right, what?
yeah, no, King Lassie, Loch Ellie.
Yes,
Yeah, perfect.
five.
Yep, and I've got the postcode here as KY. Where's that gone?
Five
Yep, KY
zero
five.
X-ray Hotel.
That is absolutely spot on. Thank you. Okay, I'm just putting that into my system now for you. Loch Ellie. Perfect. Okay. Okay, Marie. And the best methods of contact to get you by,
Is
obviously, yep, you tell
either
me.
telephone or my email address.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Are we okay to send you any texts as well?
Yeah.
Yep. The only text that we will send is basically just a little notification to say, like, you've missed a call from ourselves. Probably like what you've already had
Yes.
from myself. But like, we won't spam your messages. There's nothing big. Everything is more so done via email.
Okay.
Okay. And is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of?
No.
No. Okay. That's
I do
fine.
have heart disease and I have a type 2 diabetes.
Just make a note of that. And
Actually, I've actually got a fibromyalgia as well.
right, okay, and yeah,
I wouldn't
okay.
call that terminal,
Yeah. Okay, perfect. And would you like to add a beneficiary to your application?
I leave that just now?
Of course you can. Of course.
Okay.
Okay,
Is
so
that
what
in
I'm
case
gonna
I die before it comes through?
Yeah, just in case obviously anything happens to you, obviously
Yeah.
it can go to a nominated person, but yeah, you can always change that whenever time, whenever
Yeah.
you feel like.
Okay.
Okay, Marie. So what? Yeah. So I do appreciate that discussion experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting. As I have mentioned, you just take your time during this call. If you do need a break, any further explanation, support, or would like to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what the purpose of this call is? Obviously, yeah, I'm going to explain what the Scottish Redress Scheme is and your options around applying to the scheme. I'll explain how we work as a law firm and how we operate. I'll also discuss our funding and fees for you. And then, as I've already done, I'll gather initial information to assess whether we're able to assist you, which you already do know the answer to that. So we're already one step ahead with that one. But yeah, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies, and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm to represent you. You are entitled to three options when it comes to the Scottish Redress Scheme. Option one is that you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is that you can instruct a solicitor or a law firm who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you are successful or not with your application. INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme, and we will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us, being option three, you will be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. But
So
at
who
this,
pays you? Oh, sorry.
yeah, no, that's okay. Go
Sorry.
on.
So who pays you?
So what will happen is, obviously, from the level of reward that you are awarded from the scheme, we'll take a percentage, which
Right.
I'll explain in a second. I will obviously, before I do explain, I will advise we are probably one of the lowest percentages of law firms out there that are dealing with this scheme. I have had quite a few clients who have, once you know they've gone or already had representation or started the process within the law firm, not realizing what they've inquired to, which is obviously another law firm, and when once I've told them about our percentage, you know, that some, I'm not saying all, but some have been quite shocked, because there's other law firms that are charging up to, you know, up to 30, 35%. We're on the very lower end of the scale. We don't really want or need the money, but of course we've got the likes of myself to be paid, for the time and effort put into your case. But yeah, as again, I'll go through all them percentages with you and that shortly. But I do, yeah, I do just want to clarify. Have you gone or got any other representation from another law firm for the Scottish
No.
Reader scheme?
No.
No. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So what that means is that if your application is unsuccessful for whatever reason, you won't be paying anything to us, and if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees will consist of basic charges based on the time and effort spent on your case and also a success fee. But however, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment. So you will never pay anything more than 19.2%.
Right,
So
okay,
that's,
right, that kind.
yeah, so 19.2%.
Right, so that's nearly 20%.
Yeah, just under. And so that 19.2% will never change. That's the agreed cap. That's what we put on. So it is, yeah, it's less than 20%. As I said to you, like, as you know, there is some law firms out there that are charging 30, 35, which is, yeah, quite ridiculous, if in my opinion.
So what if the amount that you get awarded is less than the 9, what the 19.2% would be?
So just say for instance, let's say a hypothetical figure.
Yeah.
If you get awarded 30,000, we will take, just say, around about six.
That would be six. So
Yeah.
if you, right, sorry,
It'll
when
be
you go.
sorry, yeah, it'll be about 5,595, 5,8, something like that. That £24,000 is yours. We don't take
Right.
anything more. Obviously, we just take a little percentage for all the hard work that's gone into your case.
Yeah, but what if the amount you got awarded was far less than that?
I can't exactly tell you what you're gonna get.
I know.
That's, yeah, unfortunately, I can't. But what I can advise is that the average payout for this scheme is around about 55K.
Yeah, but
That's,
that's probably the people that's got lots of paperwork to back up what they're saying.
well, as I said, yeah, paperwork doesn't really need to play a factor. It's all that paperwork is, it's evidence to show that you was in care, but you having a story alone, and also a little kind of dibble of a social worker being assigned to you, that in itself shows that you was in care. And obviously having this story as well, you know, you've even mentioned that you were orphaned to your grandparents. That's all proof in itself without paperwork needed to show that you're in the care system. Okay. So
So
yeah.
what's your oh God. Like, how often would you win something like this?
With this redress scheme, it's very uncommon to not win, basically. The only reason, or the only eligible kind of like process you can do with this scheme is, the likes of myself at the start, if you haven't suffered any form of abuse, there's four types of abuse that this game look at, basically. There's neglect, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse.
Right.
Already in itself, you tick two boxes of the physical and neglect.
Right. I would say emotional as well.
Yeah, emotional as well. Sorry, my apologies.
Which we could probably dig into, but yeah.
Yeah.
Three of the above, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. So as long as your application ticks them boxes, mm-hmm. then the scheme is all yours. There's not really a dead end to this. Okay. There's only more so the closure and obviously the compensation that comes from it for yourself, really. So I honestly do appreciate these questions. Because mm-hmm. it's someone like yourself, obviously, gathering the knowledge and where you stand. And I'd appreciate that more than me just going on a big spiel and you just going, yep, I get off the phone to you and you've got all these questions.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do appreciate it. And I'm here to, obviously, yeah, explain anything that you do need.
So it would go, it would be smoother going through a company like yourself than doing it yourself through the Scottish Government.
It would be what, sorry?
A smoother process.
Yeah, it would. And I'd hold my hands up and say it would, because we specialise in this. We gather all your evidence for you. You don't have to mm-hmm. go to each, you know, local authority, the council, your doctors, mm-hmm. your social care records as well. It's stress for yourself when it's you dealing with it.
That's things that you could find that I'd find it hard to find.
Yeah, of course. I'm not gonna agree with that one. It's not hard to find. It is easy to do. The likes of, you know, for example, going to your doctors, you can just walk up to the front desk and say, "Can I request my medical records, please?" And yeah, they give uh-huh. around about 28 days to give you records. The same as, you know, ringing up, just say, for example, Fife City Council. You just ring them up and say, you know, I want a request for my social care records. And they have a right to give. The likes of ourselves, we have the correspondence with the redress scheme. And mm-hmm. we also have, over, I think it's about 750 clients current at the minute. So we've got all the points of contact for which council that we need, and we just send them an email of a request for the records, and mm-hmm. we're already in the process. We've already got our kind of foot in the doors with 98% of the councils in Scotland.
Right. So if you applied for my medical records, would it be from 1970 right up till today?
As far as
I was 16.
No. We would get them as far back dated as we can.
No, what I meant is present day notes.
Yeah, we'd get them all.
I didn't feel comfortable with you having my present day notes.
Okay, yeah, no, I completely understand that. What we wouldn't do is we wouldn't need to look at your present day notes. The only reason we would, for whatever reason, is if you were suffering with mental health, anything like that. But if what we will do, and I'll admit to you, is obviously we scan through, we see if there's anything applicable, and if it's not, we don't look. We carry on, and all we do is just look for evidence that relates to your time and care. Uh-huh. Is there anything that, you know, you'd like to make me aware of, so when obviously these records do come back, I can advise my team to skip past, you know, certain years or whatever, and focus on a more...
Well, there wouldn't be any point in looking past 1980, to be honest.
1980. Okay.
I would be 16.
Yeah.
I think I was only ever at the doctor's once during the period of time that I stayed with my grandparents. And it wasn't because I wasn't ever ill, it's because I was never taken.
Yeah, okay. So for example, then when you did fall ill or when you felt like you personally needed the doctor, was you denied them that at all?
Right, I'm not going to say denied, but I'm not going to say, right, they would say you were ill if you were being sick or you had an upset stomach or something, but nothing was done about it.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't break an arm or anything like that that I had to be taken.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I was
Yeah, of course.
denied. I'm just saying that things were overlooked, like, I don't know, chicken pox or stuff like that. It was just,
Yeah.
we were, I'm going to say, looked after, in inverted commas, at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've just made a little note there of, yeah, I'm not, because you don't want me to use that word denied, but yeah, overlooked from doctor's appointments when, you felt the right to at least deserve a checkup just to see if you was generally okay. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Just obviously, past 1980, have you ever gone? Have you ever gone to the doctors and, suffered from any mental health issues or had any effects from this time in care at all that like you've made your doctor aware of?
Right, so in 90, no, 1995, I was put on an antidepressant. It was called Seroxat. Can't remember the other name. Because I just wasn't coping with my husband's grandmother had died, and it was such a shock, and
Yeah.
I wasn't coping after that. So I was on that Seroxat for quite a while, maybe a year.
Yeah. Okay.
So the reason that I said about the fibromyalgia is I've read lots of bits and pieces that fibromyalgia can be a lot thingied back to a childhood trauma.
Yeah, of course.
So that's why I said that. And I was diagnosed with that in 2002, but I'd had the symptoms for a long time before that.
Yeah. Okay. And this is, for example, why obviously we just get all the medical records because we can't.
Yeah.
We can't exactly request for partial, because if we do,
Yeah.
we could skip. But the likes of, yeah, you know, that fibromyalgia, for example, as you've just said there, it can be related back to, childhood trauma.
Yeah.
And, there can be cases, Marie, where even though at the time how you felt or what you experienced, it may not have affected you so much. But nobody can see the effect it has on the body and how worn
Yeah.
down the body can get, how
Yeah.
overtired and how overworked it can be. And then obviously the likes of the fibromyalgia, 22 years after the age of being 16, you got diagnosed. It can play a part. So this is why we do just have a bit of a skim through. We don't look at each and every appointment, every hospital
Yeah,
appointment, but
that's what I was a bit worried about.
No, we just take bits and pieces of what we can see can be used
Yeah.
as to strengthen your case. That's all.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So I've just explained, or well, not just explained, but I've just explained the percentage to yourself. So
Yeah.
again, yeah, as I said, that's 16% plus VAT, which totals 19.2% in total. What we can't guarantee, of course, is we can't guarantee that the application will be successful, or the level of awards that the scheme may award you.
Yeah.
That's only because the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis. But what, obviously, as I've just said before, yeah, we will do our best to present your case with the best of evidence that we can and make it as
Yeah.
most presentable as we can.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if instructed, what we can assist with is obviously, yeah, whether you're eligible to apply for the redress scheme, which we already know that you are. As I've already just briefly mentioned, we gather and review all evidence that we can in order to strengthen your case the best as we can. What we'll then do is we'll prepare your application and your file. Later down in the process, my other department that work alongside us, they will give you a call and they'll get a more in-depth witness statement. So they'll just basically expand on what I kind of write up. They'll go through that with you and, you'll be able to expand more in greater detail, just to obviously so they can understand the full effects, write up a big professional witness statement, and then they'll submit that then to the Scottish Redress Scheme. As I mentioned to you, we do have full correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme, so we'll advise you on any offers made from the scheme. Once an offer is made and accepted, there's a statutory waiver that you then sign, which we'll always give you the advice along the way. But what that statutory waiver is, it's just basically once you've accepted the award, you then can't go and take these listed authorities through a civil claim or anything like that then, because it's already been dealt with through this scheme. That's what this scheme's been introduced for. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once you've accepted something, you can't go back and try and sue Fife Council, let's say.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what the scheme's for. It's to hold all the authorities accountable for the wrongdoing of your time in care.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were going to ask something then?
Yeah, I was.
Yep.
So, when I said to you about saving dinner money and going to school with holes in your shoes or bus shoes or whatever,
yep.
That wasn't just a week. That was for the whole of the time that I was there, from high school, especially the dinner money thing.
Yeah.
So although it's all just small wee things that I'm saying, when you take that over the period of 12 years maybe.
Yeah.
It's day in, day out, day in, day out.
Yeah.
Right. Didn't it just happen once? It was consistent.
And I do understand as well that does play a massive part emotionally, because being a young girl, being in high school, you want to maybe impress the boys or the girls, you want to feel like yourself, and it's unfortunate for you. Obviously you don't have your own money to go and buy clothes for yourself and make yourself look presentable.
Yeah.
You're dependent on your grandparents for this. So
yeah.
I understand, you can feel the emotions of, maybe humiliation, a little bit of intimidation, because, people could be looking at you. There's all them feelings. And of course, this does play a massive part in neglect and as you've said, emotional abuse as well. Because, your grandparents are willing to let you go out like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's not going to look much of a statement when there's only certain things that have happened, but it's happened consistently. It's not going to fill up a big statement.
It may not in your eyes, but I can guarantee you my team, especially we're currently at the moment, at that witness statement stage of some files, and they honestly, they go in great detail. They try and make it the best statements that they can. They'll bring out questions that sometimes I won't even think of. They're an amazing team. They're here to listen to you. They understand your feelings and what you've gone through. So I know you may not feel like we potentially could not draft up a big enough statement, but I can assure you that we can all, as we're only human, we can always do the best that we can for you, and that's what we're here to do.
Uh-huh. And I'm not going to say anything to pad it out, to make it look bigger.
No,
I'm
of course,
to tell the truth, I'm not going to add to it if it wasn't there.
Yeah, no, of course, I completely understand.
It's not something that I could. It's not something that I could do. It's not.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, I respect you for that as well, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do want to assure to you as well, Marie, that you do have a right to cancel when signing our agreements. You have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements, so you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And what you also can do as well is you can authorise us to start work immediately whilst your cancellation mm-hmm. rights still remain.
Yeah.
So when we send out these agreements to you, is that something that you'd like us to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's absolutely fine. Okay, what I'll also need from yourself, Marie, and this will be towards or after the end of the phone call, whatever it is for yourself, is I'll need to obtain proof of your identity for verification mm-hmm. purposes. Mm-hmm. So that'll be whether, you know, a driver's license, a passport, a mm-hmm. birth certificate, mm-hmm. and then also a proof of address as well, which will be dated within the last 3 months, please. I'll send you an email with all that information on anyway, just so obviously if I do jump off the phone to you, you can just refer back to this email and if you can see what we need. We do also need that identity as well for anti-money laundry regulations as well, which is aligning with the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do now is I'm just going to go to your care settings, the little care settings tab that I've got. And I'm going to enter the care setting of your grandparents. Mm-hmm. So would you say was it foster care, was it? Mm. Or was it wasn't foster, was it?
I don't know if I was fostered and they were paid to look after us. Or I don't know. But there was definitely social workers involved to begin with.
Yeah. Okay.
If they were, do relatives get paid as foster carers?
They can do if they're willing to take on you as a child, and they've had a meeting with the panel with the social workers, and they've accepted that they'll take you on. Yes, uh-huh. they do get funded for you then.
Even back in 1970.
Yes.
Right. So they would have been aware that they could apply for financial whatever, do you think?
I'm going to ask Google right now, just for my own clarity, but I'm pretty sure it dates back to a regulation that came out in about 1940. But I'm just going to double check now. Do foster carers.
Right. We're not talking about a stranger who's foster carer. Yeah.
Two relatives who foster okay, yep. So it's under the Social Work Act of 1968.
Mm-hmm.
What that done is that gave local authorities the power to help care for a child by paying for basically their maintenance.
Uh-huh.
Under the Scottish Government, it's called kinship care.
Mm-hmm.
It does say obviously relatives who fostered, it's called boarding out, could get paid by the government. It wasn't always guaranteed. But it was uh-huh. just down to the local authority. They had the power to provide money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I'm not even aware that they got family allowance.
The family
allowance. The family allowance book. I'm not even aware if they got that, to be honest with you.
Okay. What?
Because I was never sent to the post office to cash it or anything. But I know my friends had it. Like their mum would say, go up to the post office and cash that.
Yeah.
But I
get
don't know
that.
if my grandparents had family allowance for us.
Okay, well, all I can do
Yeah.
is I can just obviously take them notes from well, obviously you've told me obviously the money situation, the clothes situation, and yeah, whether they did or not get
Finance.
the financial help from the government, it still does show that they then overwhelmed themselves by taking on too many people and weren't able to look after, you know, the children that they had willingly took on, which is then still obviously, unfortunately, some form of neglect. Because they're neglecting children from basic needs. Okay. So yeah, what I'm gonna put down is I'm gonna put down foster care slash relative care. And then my little brief statement that I'm gonna write for you now is that's gonna support the relative care side of things. So this did you say that this dates back to 1970, was it, or was it 1966 to 1980?
No, it was 1970. I was five, just coming up for six.
Yeah. And then you left them in, what would it be then, 81? If you were
16.
16.
Yeah. 81. No. 70. Oh, I don't know. I don't.
I can put
Right, so
1980 for now if you
yeah,
want.
put that, because there is a
Yeah.
bigger story to it.
Okay. Is it a story that you need to tell me?
Probably.
It's okay. Listen, it's entirely up to you whether you want to or not. It is entirely up to you. I'm not here to force you or pressure you into anything. It's whatever you tell me is off your own back. If you think it's going to support you within this scheme, that's what I'm here
Yeah.
for.
Right, so I know I said I was orphaned, but my mum, she was killed,
Yeah.
and my dad went to jail.
Okay.
So when my dad came out of prison in, I don't know, 78, 79, I think, we then went back under his care. So
Okay.
I've been as far as 1980 with the grandparents, because my granddad died in 1977.
Okay. So your granddad died in 77.
Yeah.
So then you was just with your grandmother, was it, until for the
Yeah,
last 3 years?
Yeah, until my dad came out of jail.
Okay, and then you went back into your dad's care, was it?
Yeah. Inverted commas.
Yeah, okay. And when you was in your dad's care, was that not the best of times for you either, or was you of age to?
No, 'cause I would be 15-ish. No, it wasn't the best time because he married the first person that he got pregnant, and she wasn't the best step parent.
Yeah. Okay. And so when you went back into your dad's care, how did you leave your grandmother's care to go to your dad's? Was that organized by
Right.
somebody?
Well, so they moved from, my gran moved from Cowdenbeath down to Glenrothes,
Yeah.
where my dad had set up house with this woman in Glenrothes. So my gran went into like an old age pensioner's house,
Yeah.
and I went under the care of my dad in a 3-bedroom house.
Okay. So I'm guessing then that this was discussed between your father and your grandmother.
Yeah.
Okay, and there was no social worker involved during this discussion as well.
Well, I wouldn't think so, no.
Okay. I'm just trying to think if we can because obviously I'd like to expand on the story of you being in your dad's care, but without a social worker being round to basically put some blame on, in a sense. And the reason why I say that word is because obviously that social worker is then they're obviously then under the kind of balloon of a local authority. Because a local authority was not aware of you being placed into your dad's care again. Wrongdoing had happened. It's very hard for that time of leaving your grandparents' care and going back to your dad. You can't really place a blame on anyone if nobody was in control of that situation. So if the social worker was in control of that situation and knew that you was going back to your dad's care and being potentially placed with, you know, in there with harm, then that's then another kind of statement I can get from yourself.
I would leave that out then, because I don't think there were social workers involved in that part of it. I was still under my grandmother's care for 10 years.
Yeah, of course, I understand that. Well, what we can always do, though, as well, Marie, is we can, once we get your care records back, we can see if anything like that was noted, from around 1980. And obviously, if it is, then obviously we can, you know, we can get a fair statement from yourself. Yeah.
But I don't think that there was any paperwork around that. I really don't think so.
Okay. So what I want to do is I'm just going to type up a little bit of a brief statement from obviously your time in you know, your relative care. You're more than welcome to you know, potentially go and get a drink, anything like that. I might be quiet. I've got some little bits of information to go off. But I'll I'll ask you anything in the meantime if I've missed anything like that. But I'm just gonna go quiet for a second and I'm just gonna start typing this up, okay?
Okie dokie, I'll put the kettle on.
No worries, Marie. Make me a coffee while you're there as well, please.
Okay.
All right. Just bear with me, I am still here, but I am just quiet, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Perfect, okay. Thank you. I see. I was given an education for 35 years. My tax years of my insurance account. Hello, Marie, you there?
Yep.
Okay, so when, I'm just on the topic of obviously, you know, you buying your sanitary towels. When did you say your sister, when your grandmother was doing the washing and she'd seen, you know, the incident, was that your sister, was it?
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
Yeah,
because my sister... And was it, can you just repeat again what your grandmother called your sister, sorry?
Dirty bitch.
Okay. And just in regards to who was placed there with you, was it your brother and your sister? Have I got that
no,
right?
No, so there's two brothers and one sister. So my oldest brother would be 15. My sister would have been about 12. Then my other brother would have been 9, and I was 5 going on 6.
Okay.
So when we initially went to my grandmother's or my grandparents' house, the four of us shared one bedroom. So you've got a 15-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Yeah, that's my idea.
I know we're related. And then we got a bigger house and the two girls went into one room and the two boys went into another.
Just talk me through again, sorry, I do apologize. Just talk me through the physical abuse side of things. So what was it that you'd do or say in, you know, to result in potentially getting, you know, like a slap over the head or anything like that?
So if you were late home, get a slap. If you were cheeky in any way, but I'm not talking about the cheekiness of children today.
Yeah.
I don't think what I had said warranted a slap.
Yeah.
Not putting something away, not cleaning something properly. You know, it's hard to remember all the things that you got a slap for.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So whenever you'd get home late, if you were cheeky in any way or forgotten to put something away, anything else?
Possibly report cards that weren't very great, or
I
can't think at the moment. Report cards from school.
Ah, yeah. Oh, my report. And when you did receive that slap, was it just across the head? Was it be across the face?
Yeah. Head, shoulder, face.
And then when obviously your older brother would get the punishment off your grandfather, would that be the belt across the backside with it?
Yeah.
And I am sorry to ask you this. Do you know if it would be if your grandfather would pull his trousers down to do it, or would it be over the clothes?
Probably over the clothes.
Okay.
So he would be taken into a different room. It wasn't done in front of us.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just going to go back to the school uniform part. Intimidation and... so this will cause me a great deal of humiliation, intimidation and... Embarrassment,
aye. can't remember ever having a winter coat.
Oh, right, really? Okay. That's a,
yeah, no.
That's a good point of detail, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, but on the other hand, when you're going to school, you get in trouble at school because you didn't have a pencil or your jotters hadn't been wrapped. I don't know if you know, back in the 70s, you used to wrap wallpaper around your school jotters and stuff like that to protect the books.
Yeah, but okay.
Or you get in trouble because you didn't have gym shoes. Or plimsolls.
Yeah.
You know? So you got in trouble at school for things that you really should have been sent to school with.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Yeah, you take the punishment when it's not really you. It's your, you know, your guardians, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I feel like I've done a pretty good job in what I wrote here. And if you'd like me to, I can read it back to you. If you wouldn't like me to, you will see this anyway in your application form when I send it out to you on an email. So I can do...
Some of what you have said today can be expanded on.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
Like, do you know when you went to school, maybe about, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock, you had a play time?
Yeah.
Did you go out to play? And did your mum or your parent give you either money to buy something at the tuck shop or sent you to school with a packet of crisps or an apple? Or, well, that never happened with me.
Okay.
So we used to call it a play time and it was called your leaf piece.
Yeah.
Never ever had a leaf piece.
Okay.
You know, there's lots of things I can expand on.
Well, yeah. What I'll do then is I want to get you, Marie, to remember that what you've just told me about the about the, you know, your break time and you know your little bit of luxury, I'm going to call it. Just keep that in a little memory box in your head.
Yeah.
And when when my team come to give you a call a little bit down the line, that'll be a little bit better to put in your bigger witness statement. Because that's exactly what they do. They take even the more minor details, details, sorry, than what I will. I'm just taking like a bit of a brief overall statement.
They'll
dive into the each and every detail that they'd like to. So would you like me to read this back to you, or would you like to just see it for yourself?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
See what you've written.
Let's see what you can praise me for. Okay. So my mother passed away when I was 3 or 4 years old, and my dad went to jail.
No, I was five.
Five, sorry, my bad.
Five.
Yeah, okay, my bad. So my mother passed away when I was 5 years old. My dad went to jail and I was placed in the care of my grandparents. I had a social worker who agreed this for me and was in charge of my placement to my grandparents' house. I was placed here...
Right, you're saying that, but I couldn't tell you who the social worker was or anything like that.
Yeah, that's okay. When you're 5 years old, Marie, no one's expected you to have to remember the name or anything.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but it will be documented. Obviously,
right.
if there is a social worker involved, like you've said.
Yeah, because I do remember being in a social worker's car, being taken either from my grandparents or to my grandparents' house from my aunties.
Yeah.
So there was someone involved.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
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 It's just that when you said that, I'm thinking, you know,